Today is session 12 of the Identify Your Ideal Career Path Coaching Group. Today is Thursday, May 21st, 2009. And so far we have Michael, Angie, Kelly, Alexandra, and was Stacy here too? Yes. Okay, good. So we're missing Paul and Latoya. I think Latoya is still traveling. I think she said she'd be back on the calls the next session. So hello to you guys, and maybe Paul will be joining us in a second. So how is everyone today?
Fabulous.
Good.
Yay. And who said fabulous?
That was Alexandra.
And why are you fabulous?
Well, I'm in Zion National Park right now, and we just got back from an awesome hike, an awesome backpacking. I just made the call like 5 minutes ago.
I was wondering.
Thank God you guys can't smell me, because it's pretty bad.
How many days has it been?
3 days since we started the hike. We spent 2 nights up there.
Oh, beautiful. And when are you going to get a shower?
Hopefully right after the call.
Okay, good. Well, I love your dedication to calling in when you're on vacation, too. That is wonderful.
We got up at 5 o'clock so we could do this.
It's 5 o'clock?
Well, in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I'm impressed. I am quite impressed. I hope you're having fun.
Oh, I'm having a blast.
Good. You know, it's great that you're doing this, too, Alexandra, because a lot of times when you are not at work and, you know, under pressure and stress and that kind of thing, this is a great time to think about this kind of stuff because it really releases your mind and mm-hmm. allows you to, you know, think more openly, I think, about ideas. So good for you. Cool. All right. So let's check in on successes, learnings, and challenges, as well as check in on our homework. And today we are finishing the experience portion of the model, which we started talking about last time, which was basically about the transferable experience. What kind of past work experience do you have that you can use in your ideal career? And we're starting on the personality and culture and environment parts of the career model. So one of the tests that you took online for today relates to both personality type as well as culture and environment that you need to be in. So we'll talk about that more in a minute. All right, so successes and learnings. Anybody have any aha moments, something that jumped out at you that you realized over the past week?
This is Angie. On the MAP assessment, at the bottom of the preferences for career matches were most of my careers to consider, like the lowest 34%. So that was definitely something to think about.
Okay. How so?
I guess it's saying that the careers that I listed to consider, those are probably the least of a good fit for me.
So when you looked at those, Angie, did you agree with it? Was it like, oh, surprising? Or were you kind of like, no, that makes sense? Because remember with these tests, too, that they're not testing for every single thing. They're not testing what you enjoy doing necessarily. They're not testing what would be fulfilling for you. So I'm not saying ignore the test completely, but take it into context.
Well, I think there's still some ambiguity for me around those careers to consider, like exactly how like the role part. So what I took from it was where I rated the highest, there seemed to be some consistencies in the type of role I would play, and so I could see where in the careers to consider I wasn't getting enough of that kind of role.
Got it. Okay.
So it was helpful in that respect. And then maybe just fine-tune or look for areas where I'm doing a specific kind of role, but in areas where I'm interested.
Yes, that's the key, I think. So just because maybe the specific areas were not listed on your top 20 or however many you got from the report you did, it doesn't mean that you can't have a similar role in another field or industry. That makes sense. That's what you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm. In some ways, it was a relief because it helped see why that wouldn't be the best match for me.
Good. And it kind of gets, because it sounds like you were struggling with those a little bit anyway and maybe holding on to them. And so is that part of why it was a relief for you?
And I think that's what brought me to the coaching group is because I've tried to do this on my own and I haven't been successful. So I'm hoping to really get to, you know, what is the best fit, maybe not what is attractive on the outside.
Good. So think about your role in these particular things, too. And it's about you. And that's why we did the values and purpose statement at the very beginning, because so many people, they look at external circumstances. They look at what other people think that they should be doing, or they compare themselves to others. And a big part of what keeps them stuck is doing those things and not listening to what's truly a fit for them. So good, Angie. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else? Successes or learnings?
Stacy, I feel like I've had a bit more learning since our last call. And it's just been things I've, aha moments and also things I've been exposed to in the past week. I guess something on my careers to consider now is international marketing, and I don't know why I never considered this before, but I have such a love for culture and marketing that it seems like a really good fit, the two of those together, so I've kind of been investigating opportunities that are available in those areas.
Good, and when you're, Stacy, hold on, so when you are investigating those, how are you feeling about them so far?
Well, there's more limited opportunities for them, and especially in Atlanta, it seems like in New York, there's a lot of opportunities in that field. And but there's still a lot of companies in Georgia that offer careers in that area, like Coca-Cola, and it was all instigated. I'm on the UGA Career Center update list, and they had posted an internship for the international marketing department for Newell Rubbermaid, and that's kind of what instigated me even thinking about this.
Oh, yeah, cool.
So there's definitely opportunities. You know, I just need to do those informational interviews. And it also made sense to me, you know, in my company, there's another company who's a marketing company, but they just do trend research. And literally, she sits on the other side of my cube. I mean, I can hear her conversation. And she just got back from a trip to Brazil and a trip to India and Mexico where they were doing focus groups there. And,
ooh.
I mean, I was so close, but it never even made sense to what I was interested in. So, I mean, I just listen in on what they do, but I don't know if I necessarily want to do what they do, because they do market research versus marketing kind of campaigns and planning, but it's just so funny to me how oblivious I was to it.
Yeah, so listen, it's normal, okay, so don't feel bad. And what would you say, because the two things you said here were some aha moments and some exposure to other things, what would you attribute those two things to, like if you were to give somebody words of wisdom?
Well, the thing I learned more of, I asked to go to this seminar on search engine marketing the other day, and I don't work in search engine marketing at all at my job. I do print buying, but it's just something that I was interested in, and I went to, and it just made me realize there's so many more cool things happening than print buying.
Yeah.
So I also really like to be on the cutting edge of what's happening in the world versus what's dying.
Yeah, well, that sounds fun to me, too.
Yeah, so that was definitely, I don't even work in it, but I was through an organization. There's, you know, the marketing organization, Atlanta Interactive Marketing Association, AIMA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just on their email list.
Okay.
And I just found that seminar, and, you know, it was like $25 to go to it. So, and that's, I guess, it's great networking, but, I mean, I met some people at my table who worked for, like, Turner, so, I mean, maybe they don't have a job I'm interested in, but I might be able to talk to them in the future as well.
Okay, good.
I don't know, man. The international marketing, it only occurred to me through reading the posting on my UGA career alumni.
Yeah. Well, this is what happens. You never know. Like, one of my clients before, you know, we've been working together for a few months, and her idea came to her when she was reading a magazine on a Sunday afternoon on her couch at home, you know, because we had done all of this work and all of this thinking, and she was, it was as if, like, that was the time, you know, this one thing was the last piece of the puzzle that just put everything together for her.
Yeah.
So just know that it's normal. You haven't done anything wrong, you know, like, it's, that's how it works. It's kind of like your mind needs to start putting all these pieces together, and then at some point it should start to click, and that's, it sounds like that's what happened to you. And it sounds like for you, Stacy, and this goes for everybody, that the more you put yourself out there and just go explore, go to a seminar, network, talk to other people about what they do, get out there and find out more information about these areas that you're considering, whether it's as general as marketing or health or whatever it is, the more you talk to people, the more ideas you're going to get, not just from them, but it's going to get your creative juices flowing as well. So it's really putting yourself out there. So congratulations, Stacy. That's awesome. All right. Anybody else, successes or learnings?
Well, I guess I got two.
Ooh.
The first one is I had graduation last Wednesday, so I got my master's now.
Woo-hoo!
So, and then the second one is I actually conducted my first informational interview with the general manager of Wild Bill's from the entertainment side.
Great. And what happened?
Him just going to a networking function.
Oh, cool. So that's how you met him, through a networking event.
I didn't meet him out there. I met him, one of my a lady that used to work with me, she invited me to this young professionals thing at the Gwinnett Chamber. She had met someone earlier that day at the event that said he had lunch that day with the GM of, you know, Wild Bill's, and then she put me in touch with him.
Okay.
And me to that guy, and then while I was talking to him, he texted the GM at Wild Bill's and set up a meeting for me.
And did you conduct the interview already, or it's on the books?
I conducted it the last Tuesday, yeah.
Okay. Tell me the most helpful thing about doing that informational interview.
It's obvious that running an entertainment venue is a lot of hard work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting too much specifics out of anyone. I did get, you know, he said make sure that you have all your creditors paid off in 2 years.
Okay.
That was some helpful information. But, you know.
Well, are you asking them, Michael, are you asking them how they got started?
And he got started in a sales position, and he knew the owner, the 51% owner.
Okay.
And I asked him, you know, I pretty much left it with him, you know, over there, left him my business card and said, if he needs any help or anything, just, you know, give me a call.
Okay, cool.
Just saying, you know, do you have any jobs?
Right. Okay. So
information is, you know, I'm trying to ask the questions, you know, how did you get started, but they're not really opening up.
All right, so what do you think you need to do differently? Do you need to make your question more specific? Like, what do you think the best way is to get financing? You know, what was your first, when you did this, did you start with a partner or did you start on your own? What would be the, you know, if you were to say what the three keys to being successful were, what are those? So you might need to be a little bit more specific with them, kind of lead them into the answers that you're looking for.
Yeah, because I had written down a lot of questions, you know, that I thought were specific, and they sounded like basically like you just said, but, you know, he just breezed on through it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, this was one of your first ones, sounds like. So I would try to get more specific with your questions and talk about financing, talk about writing a business plan. You know, talk about how to be successful. Do you need to get a partner or not? Do you think it's better to have a partner or not? So try to get more specific with it. Some people are going to breeze through it just because that's their personality. and some people won't. And my other sense is that there's a lot of different ways to get started in that kind of business. So there is no one right way to do it. There's going to be the best way that works for you as you learn more about this.
Yeah, and that whole financing thing is a big issue right now.
It is. That's why having a partner, an investor, getting started, you know, as an employee at one of these places, all of those things, finding the investor, take that off the list for a second, but, you know, finding a partner to do this with you, starting really small or working at one of these places to get your feet wet and learn about it, those are a little bit more realistic for the moment.
Yeah.
And it's a good way to get started in it. It's like I told you about that guy who wanted to, well, I don't know if I said this to you guys or it was another client, but there's the guy who runs the wine section at Murphy's, which is a place here in Atlanta. He wanted to get into wine and eventually run a store or own his own. And the first thing that he did is he went and worked at a liquor store. And that's how he, you know, got his feet wet. So that's a more realistic way for you to get into this, Michael, while you're learning more about it.
I tried that a couple of years ago, and they said I was overqualified.
Yeah, well, you probably need to try for a higher-level position then. So networking with that manager that you just talked to, that's a good start.
Yeah.
Okay. So informational interviews are really helpful, guys, and just know that some are going to be more helpful than others. Some are going to be a strikeout, and, you know, they don't give you a lot of information or they're not as helpful as they could be. That's why it's a good idea to conduct a lot of them, just to get as much information as you can. Good for you for doing it, and congratulations on graduating. That's awesome.
Thank you.
So, Michael, will you commit to doing more of these informational interviews and working on your questions to make them more specific?
Yeah, I am trying. I'm trying to get out and just meet a lot of folks.
Okay. So if you need help making your questions specific, just send them to me via email and we'll work on them.
Okay.
All right. There's a lot today. You guys are coming to the table with a lot. Any other successes or learnings? And let's go to challenges, too. Successes, learnings, or challenges, questions, things you're struggling with so far. Nope, nothing? Okay, so let's see what comes up as we go and questions that come up as we go. So last time we talked about past experience that you have had, whether it's in official full-time jobs or volunteer work or doing something on the side, like Stacy, I think you said you worked at Limited too, experiences that you can draw upon for your ideal career path. And when we're thinking about past experience, it's not just any experience that you have had, but it's experiences that you enjoyed. So just like we talked about with your talents, you want to identify those enjoyable talents, not just, oh, yeah, I'm great at writing, but I really hate it, okay? So you need to focus on experience that you've had, too, that was enjoyable for you and that you liked. So let's talk about what you guys came up with. We talked last time about coming up with a list of what we're calling transferable experience that you can draw upon. So who's willing to share a couple of things that they came up with in terms of their past experience that they can draw upon for ideal careers? No one?
Well, I guess since it's quiet. I'll go out.
Thanks, Michael. Well, I was starting to wonder if people didn't do it or if you guys are just being shy. So, Michael, go ahead.
I guess one of them is in my position that I'm at now, about 2 years ago, I was developing and implementing new products and services for the membership. And that brings out one of my talents of creativity. Which I don't link too often.
Okay.
But I was in my new apartment the other day, and I was looking up at some pieces of artwork that I did back in high school, and I said, man, I'm creative. So that was a creative skill.
Okay.
And then one, another thing is network and negotiate with senior management and managers within the departments. I did that a couple of years ago. They've taken me off of that a little or a lot over the past year.
Okay.
But that's due to circumstances around the office.
Okay. So first with the creativity, you were saying that that's a talent that you have, but also you have experience developing new products and services, which involves an element of creativity, correct?
Yes.
So when you're looking at your careers to consider, how can this translate or help you?
Well, you know, because another one of the things that I'm looking at for careers to consider is not only the small business consulting, but credit union consultancy.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be creative because you have to bring new creative processes, you know, creative methods of, you know, becoming more efficient and things along that line.
Right, right. So to come up with ideas and strategies for them.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So that would be the creative part.
Okay. The network and negotiating, how can that help you with your careers to consider?
Well, on all my careers consider, either I want to be an independent consultant or an entrepreneur or some kind of person in management.
Mm-hmm.
So communication, ways to work with them, get things done, deal with people that I think are sometimes incompetent.
Okay. So this would relate to, so the networking and negotiating with people, I mean, it relates also to promoting your business,
yes.
Right? So good at being social and networking with people. And negotiating can include vendors that you work with as well as your staff.
Yes.
And looking at the big picture and how to make things work smoothly and effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Nice work. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for getting us started. Okay, so one other person. What did you guys come up with? Alexandra, did you get the chance to think about this while you were hiking?
No, I haven't had email for a while, so I didn't know what the homework was.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I'm trying to write down stuff right now, but it's not very much so far.
Okay. No worries.
Stacy, I've got some stuff.
Good. Thank you.
I just was trying to do my top five transferable skills, but I feel like I have four definite ones, and my fifth one's just a little hazy.
Okay.
But my first one is just sales skills. I've had a sales career before, but I also recently, you know, all my conversations are phone, so I think I have sales, and specifically if it involves a phone, public speaking, writing, and an agency background. I do know, just reading a lot of job descriptions, sometimes it's asked that you've worked in an agency environment. And specifically in media buying and planning, is sometimes that's something necessary in a marketing job. So.
Okay. So that's how, so you kind of already said how this relates to it, that you've had this past experience. And then what about the sales part of it? How would you say that relates?
Well, sales, I think, is a great transferable skill no matter wherever you're going. But I did have a sales career previous to my agency world. And I don't know, I think it has a lot to help. It's very helpful in just communication, negotiating, and relationship development.
Yeah. And how do you think it can relate to the international marketing idea, too? I mean, sales and marketing, it's not the exact same thing, but it's obviously, you know, similar. It's in the same ballpark.
Right. Well, sometimes, I mean, you do have to sell your ideas, so.
Mm-hmm. And I think understanding the client and the customer.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly, yeah, that too, understanding the relationship there.
Yep, and what their needs are and that kind of thing to get their needs met.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of in a different spin on it, too. Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Stacy. That's awesome. I think that's perfect. All right, so the next thing to think about in terms of your experience is the gaps in experience that need to be filled. And I want you guys to know that this is a working list. This is not something that, you know, you're going to know all the answers to. So, like for me, when I decided I wanted to become a coach and, you know, have my own business, I didn't really know that. I didn't think about it. I mean, this was obvious, but I didn't think about, well, I'm going to have to hone my, you know, my business skills and, like, learn how to run a business. I mean, duh, that's obvious, right? But that's something that I didn't occur to me until after, you know, I had already started my coaching classes, because I was focused on learning how to become a coach first. And so it's a good idea right now to start this list, but know that this gaps in experience and skills that need to be filled, this list, you're going to add to it as you go and learn more about what different types of positions, what they require, because you don't know all of that quite yet, okay? So does that make sense that this is kind of a working list to get started on right now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So what did you guys come up with when you think about the gaps in your experience and your ideal career, the careers that you're considering? What are the gaps there that need to be filled? What would you guys say? Let's come up with some examples.
Previous experience.
Experience in what, Stacy?
Well, I mean, I started looking at some of the openings and just what they're asking for in some of these jobs as far as international business goes. I mean, it is still very vague, and it differs what they're looking for from company to company.
Okay.
But the thing that's definitely the strongest thing is just previous experience working in I'm trying to think about what I read, but sometimes if it was a research, you know, job, working specifically in some sort of a research marketing career, because, I mean, I've worked in an ad agency, but I've worked in a print-buying ad agency, so
different.
I don't have the experience working for either a marketing company or working for an international firm, or I wish I had more of the explanation in front of me, but, I mean, other things I saw was, you know, they said a marketing bachelor's degree is required and an MBA is preferred. I thought MBA preferred on, like, everything.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say that it was mandatory.
Okay.
And then some of these, too, that having a second language was something that some of them looked into having as well.
Okay. So I think what's best for you, and this really can go for anybody, is to start writing down the gaps in experience and skills. And so, and put down everything, Stacy, because what you'll do is you'll start to prioritize. You'll find out what's really important versus not, and what you'd be interested in going after versus not. So, like, MBA would be one thing, and that's something to consider since it's preferred, it's not mandatory. Like, can you get by without it, and would that be okay with you? Like, could you get maybe a lower-level position in one of these firms and, say, start working towards your MBA in a few years? You know, that's
what about when you see they say something like they want you to have 8 years experience? And, you know, I haven't even been in the working world 8 years. Does that just mean I'm looking at the wrong job, or do you apply anyways?
It depends. You don't want to waste your time applying to a ton of things that are too high, like higher up in terms of management or the structure of the company. So it kind of depends on what else they're saying. 8 years is a lot, but if you have a lot of the other requirements they're asking for, like the majority of the other ones, then I think it's worth applying. And then the other thing to think about, though, too, is maybe you need to look at positions that are a little bit, like, one step lower than whatever those particular positions are, where you would be more qualified. Do you see what I'm saying? And this is where talking to people in this industry who work in international marketing can be really helpful, because that's how you can find out, okay, so this MBA thing, is it really a big deal? Like, yeah. Is that a make or break? And right now in this economy, I mean, companies can pretty much pick and choose who they want to hire because so many people are employed. So right now it's a little bit tougher, you know, to move across and have somebody take a risk on you. But that's the economy is not going to be this way forever. So I think you need to talk to some to people in this field, find some people who you can talk to find out more about these requirements. And then try to identify positions that are just one step below these and see what those pay and what those requirements are because they might be a better match. So it sounds like you might be a little bit too high.
Yeah, I am trying to find people. And I know UDA, I don't know if other people that have this too, they have a system where you can look up alumni and where they're working at because that's a great way to contact someone.
Yeah, your alumni career center or just alumni at all, you know, even if they're local or not, that's such a great resource.
Yeah.
So go back to where you went to school. That's perfect. Okay, so those are two things. So the MBA is one. The second language is another possibility. And just the flat-out experience and, you know, more international. So you're already in marketing in some way, shape, or form. So how do you get more of this international bent on it? Do you need to talk to the girl who sits right across from you a little bit more? Are there opportunities within your current company to get a little bit more exposure to, you know, international clients? That kind of thing. And again, like we're saying, remember that this doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, tomorrow you're going to go jump into international marketing. Part of how you guys all need to think about this is what are the steps for me to get there? So maybe it's, you know, in 6 months I get a job in international marketing. It's a little bit lower paying, but at least there's room for advancement at this company. So think about it in terms of steps that you need to take, okay? All right, good. Thank you. All right, so anybody else? Let's hear from one other person about experience and gaps that need to be filled. Kelly, are you still with us?
I am.
What would you say?
Well, I think kind of like I had mentioned last time, if I were to go into something a little bit more artistic or creative, kind of like art therapy or healthcare design, I would need more sort of art or studio classes.
Yep. So have you gotten a chance to look into any of those options?
I have looked into healthcare design a little bit. There's an online school through, I think, the University of Pittsburgh or something that I've called and set up a kind of an informational interview to talk with them about what classes I would need to sort of fill in with the credits that I already have.
Okay. And that's for healthcare design, though, not the art therapy, right?
Right.
Okay. So with the art therapy, have you looked at any classes or ways that you can get that experience?
I've looked online just to see what would be kind of required, and there was a second master's, but I think we had kind of talked a little bit before about how I might be able to sort of add to what I'm already doing in therapy without necessarily having to get another degree. So I have looked into that a little bit.
And what did you find so far?
That, like, if I wanted to work at a hospital specifically as an art therapist, I would need a second master's. But if I wanted to add it more to my private practice, that wouldn't be something I would necessarily need.
And that's what you're leaning towards anyway, your private practice, right?
Right.
That's what I thought. Okay. So it sounds like you need to identify some, like, maybe they're just introductory classes. Like, maybe there's an intro to art therapy or something like that, whether it's at an adult education center or at a community college or something like that, that can give you a little bit of this without having to go back and get a whole other master's degree. Does that sound right?
Sounds good.
So for you, it's education-focused and finding things where you can kind of fill in the gaps a little bit for the moment. And then if you want to pursue this more heavily later, you can. But at least you get your feet wet, and you could even start using these therapies with your existing clients. There's no reason not to start now, right?
Sure.
All right, cool. So that's one of your homework assignments, Kelly, is to look into those and find a good viable option to just get you started.
Okay.
Cool. All right. So any questions? Do you guys have any questions on experience, whether it's building upon past experience that you've had or filling in any gaps? This is kind of a work in progress, too, as you learn more about what's required.
My gaps list is a lot longer than my experience list.
What do you – oh, your gaps.
Yeah.
So what are some of the gaps, Alexandra? Give me one of them.
Well, definitely work experience. Higher education, second language, all the things that I think it was Kelly mentioned earlier, and possible internship. I'm working on the education part.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll be taking some classes over the summer.
At Georgia State, right?
Yeah. And also, I'm going to sign up for a grant writing class at Emory.
Cool.
I figured that would, I mean, if I'm going to be working for a nonprofit, they really like me to get the money. I think that's a selling point.
Yeah.
So,
Alexandra, are all the things on your list, do you know that they're going to be required by this career path, or are you just guessing?
Well, definitely the work experience.
Okay.
I've been looking at jobs, you know, for the UN and stuff, and they definitely, even for the lower positions, they require some kind of work experience. And then as far as education goes, you only need a bachelor's,
mm-hmm.
but I think it would be better for me if I knew specifically.
Knew what?
Where I was headed as far as focus, as in health or, you know, lawyer, I don't know.
Right, because then you could, then you'd need to choose what type of degree to get.
Right.
Okay. So I think part of a couple of things. I think part of why your gaps in experience is so long is you haven't narrowed things down enough yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I would do is I would start to prioritize these for yourself and really ask yourself and find out by talking to people who do this kind of work by looking at job openings and positions and find out if those things are all really required. Or if you're just kind of saying, oh, well, this would be nice and this would be nice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I don't know. It's just I got this sense when you said the grant writing, it's not that that would be bad, but when you said that, like that would be a good selling point, it would be, but I would want it to be like that's something that's required that you'd have to have
yeah,
as opposed to just kind of, you know, throwing everything into the pot. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be a little bit more focused on and cut back on your list, narrow it down to these are the things that are really the core foundation. Like for me as a coach, obviously I had to learn to be a coach. I mean, that's basic. The business skills to own my own coaching practice, that's there for sure too. And a little bit of marketing because I have to market my business, but I can hire people to do that. In accounting, you know what, that would be nice, Alexandra, but if I was busy trying to learn how to be, like, you know, handle my books all day, every day, I wouldn't have time to coach. So there's a lot of things that if I sat here and said, ooh, it'd be great to, I could say that it'd be great to be able to do a lot of things in order to be a coach, but that's just not possible, and it's not a good way for me to think about it. So it's like, what are the primary things that you need to have? And then the other things could be kind of a, this would be nice, but it's not required. Do you see what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think that might help cut down on your list. And if you're still having trouble with it, send it to me and we'll look over it.
Okay.
Okay. But use that example of me. I think that might help you latch on to it a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. Any other questions on experience and that piece of the model? Okay, so let's move to personality. What did you guys think of this, the millionaire mind or whatever it is, mm-hmm. the millionaire test online, the hare, the tortoise, the squirrel?
Stacy, I did it, and I remember it saying the results, but I didn't remember, I didn't feel like I got anything out of it. But also, it was just career assessment things. I feel like I've done so many of them, I know exactly what the answers are, and they usually always are kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I almost feel like I know how to manipulate them.
I know.
I don't know if I'm manipulating them, but I just, you know, ever since high school, I feel like I've gotten the same responses.
Well, it's funny you say that because I did my MAP this morning preparing for today, and I was sitting there, I was analyzing what they were asking me to say, well, if I said this, it would probably come out like that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah. So you have to step back. Like, so this is what I did for myself is I stopped and I was like, okay, look, what is really true for me? Stop analyzing it, but I know what you're saying. So this is what we're going to talk about today is the different roles, the results that you guys got and what they mean, okay? So let's go around the room real quick and tell me what each of you got so I know what ones we need to cover. So, Angie, what were you?
A squirrel.
Okay. Michael?
Oh, I was a hare, I guess.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. For either of you, actually, I would have guessed those. Stacy.
I don't remember. I didn't write it down.
Oh,
maybe
darn.
Maybe if you say, if someone else says it, well, it might. Oh, is there an owl or something?
There's an owl, yes.
Okay, that's coming, that's triggering in my head.
Okay. Kelly?
I didn't get a chance to do it.
Okay, so do it for next time, okay?
Okay.
Okay, and Alexandra, you didn't do it, right, because you were gone?
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, so far we've got squirrel, hare, owl. So we'll focus on those for the moment today, and then I'll tell you. So the full list of these, so I would write these down just so you guys know, because all of us have an element of these different pieces in us. So you have a dominant one. You're either mostly a hare, a squirrel, an owl, or a turtle, but we're all a mixture of these, okay? So when I describe them to you, I want you to, like, I don't want you guys to get confused and say, well, there is a little bit of squirrel or hare in me too. Yeah, and that's fine. We want to just make sure that you realize what your dominant one is. And the other thing about your personality type is that your personality is something you were born with. You really can't change it. So, Stacy, that's part of why you're getting the same results, because this is who you are. So it's the same type of thing as your natural talents are what they are, as opposed to skills that you can develop or learn. There's a difference between natural talents and skills that you can learn. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So I want to say this first before we go through these. Here's what you need to consider when you're thinking about your personality and an ideal career. There's two things. The first is you need to think about how your personality affects the tasks, responsibilities, and your role. So tasks, responsibilities that you have, and your role that you play in the organization. That's number one. And number two, the culture of the organization that's the best fit for you. So what kind of culture works best for you? And I'll explain how these work in a second. Okay, so first, let's go with the hair first. So when I wonder if I could scan these in. Let me figure out, I bet I can probably scan these in because I do have some results that explain briefly each of these personality types. So let me see if I can scan these in and I can send them to all of you as well so you've got them. So just in general, a hair is someone who's very conceptual and spontaneous. They're very big picture and work with concepts and ideas. They jump around from idea to idea and tend to like think about a hare is naturally like they jump, they move really fast, and they can be sometimes kind of scattered, right? So hares want lots of freedom from constraint, and when a rule exists, they might break it. They act impulsively. and derive satisfaction from creating, discussing concepts and ideas, and overcoming obstacles. Okay? So just from what I've described, and we're not going to get to every single one of these in detail today, so we'll talk about it more in a couple weeks too. But so from what I've described for a hare, what would you guys say in general are the right tasks and responsibilities for someone who's a hare? Michael, what would you say, since this is you?
Someone that is looking at like a vision of a company.
Great, yep.
I'd also say, development of people.
Yep, good.
Making sure that, you're always developing someone.
Mm-hmm. Big picture kind of stuff. So anybody else jump in here, too? What would you guys say is good or good types of tasks or responsibilities for a hare person?
Definitely don't see them in a cubicle.
Nope. So moving around a lot out of the office, good. What else?
Maybe involved in management or in charge of a project, because they can take all the ideas of everyone else and create the big picture out of it and work, put all the pieces together.
Beautiful. What else?
The strategies a company will take to absorb challenges.
Yes, good. Another thing I would add is creativity, idea generation, lots of variety, lots of fresh new stuff and risk-taking. And so give me a couple of examples of what you guys think would be bad for a hare, bad types of tasks or responsibilities.
The being locked up in your office in the cave,
very bad. Very bad, good. Anything else?
In a caged animal.
Yes.
Yeah, that's definitely a cubicle. But also, I think, something very detailed would probably be bad, like accounting.
Yes.
I don't see this person as the CFO of the company.
Yes. That's it. Not too detailed, right? Not too structured either.
Yeah. I kind of also see, a sales career with a hare, too, because sometimes salespeople are really great at sales, but just not great with the paperwork aspect of it.
Yeah, so true. That's perfect, Stacey. So here are some possible things. So you guys started to mention career ideas here, and it's kind of like a teacher or trainer, a consultant or counselor, type of person who can think big picture and put ideas together for people. A recruiter, a higher level executive or manager who's in charge of strategy. I think of an artist fitting in here, too, because it's conceptual like this. And maybe like an advertising executive or something like that, too. Okay? So what type of, and we already said a few of these, but I want to make sure we keep it structured, too. The culture of the organization, what's the best type of culture for a hare?
Horizontal.
Yeah, so more flat, not as hierarchical.
Yeah.
Good, Kelly. What else?
I would say on the same lines, open.
Yeah. Freedom. Being able to cross boundaries or lines, not lots of structure or rules, right?
Yeah. Not the bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that you guys would say about the culture? I would say, too, big picture, meaning that you're either involved with or the culture of the organization really focuses and reminds people of the big picture, where they're going, what they're about, instead of, minute details we're plodding along, doing research or something. And I would say the people around you, creative and kind of out of the box, right? Okay, so do you see how we can take these personality types and start to think of qualities about a job in terms of your tasks and your culture? Are you guys following me? Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right, so let's look at an owl. I want to get through as many of these as we can today. So we've got owl and squirrel, too. So here's owl. Owl is spontaneous and practical. They are more focused and driven, like more make-it-happen kind of people. Instead of, you might think of hare as kind of pie in the sky, visioning things, but they're not going to implement stuff. An owl is more, thinks about the means to promote or advance new ideas and direction. So how to promote things and make things happen. They're good at instilling a sense of purpose in a team and promoting that purpose with single-mindedness and determination. And here's something interesting, too, about owls is they initially tend to respond to ideas with skepticism. But this is a good thing because a hare is the type of person that'll just say, oh, okay, that sounds good, without really thinking a lot about it and thinking it through and just run with it, right? Whereas the owl is a great person to say, hold on a second, let's think about this, let's be real. And what's the possible outcome? Let's analyze it for a minute, okay? They enjoy respect and influence, and they are great at promoting team objectives, seeing the value of a new idea or trend, and actively carrying it forward. I'm going to send these to you guys, too, so don't worry too much about taking detailed notes here. So owl, you kind of, think of like a wise old owl. Like, they think through things a little bit more, and they're, this is kind of weird, but think of an owl, how they dive down, like if they're going to catch a mouse or something. They're so focused like that, and they might think about something for a minute, but then they just, boom, they swoop right down and get it. Okay, so what are some examples of good tasks for owls?
Like a project manager.
Mm-hmm, good. What else would you guys say? Taking an idea and running with it, so like someone who implements on a team and comes up with, okay, here's the plan, here's how we need to make it happen, let's everybody get focused on it. So almost like a, like you were saying, Angie, a project manager, a team leader that gets the plan together and gets people to start making it happen, the implementation part of it. They're really determined and single-minded, so leading a team like this is great because it helps people stay focused. An owl helps a hare stay focused. Gets them back on track. And they're able to prioritize things really, really well, too. So this can be part of planning and implementation as well. So some of the career ideas, and I'm just going to tell them to you guys, were like strategic planner, research manager, team leader, director of a theater, account manager. Those are some ideas. So what kind of culture would you guys say is good for an owl?
Maybe a structured one.
So a little bit more structured. Not too much so, but definitely more than a hare. Because they, like, and I would say structured in terms of a clear direction.
Yes.
Good. What else? There's a key word here that starts with T that I kept saying a bunch with owl.
Teaming.
Team?
Teaming. Team player?
Yeah, yeah. So a culture that works in teams where people work together a lot, that would be good too. Any other ideas in terms of the culture? This one needs to be, there needs to be new ideas and trends or some creativity for owls too, because they're not like completely, remember they're spontaneous as well as practical. So there still needs to be an element of creativity and idea generation, at least within the culture of the organization, for an owl. Because I think they would get really bored with just the same methodical thing all the time. Because they like new ideas and figuring out how to implement them. Okay. Any questions on these first two, the hare or the owl? Was this helpful for you guys to get more of a sense?
Yes.
What yours are about? Stacy, you were the owl, right?
Hmm.
And who were my... Angie, you were the squirrel.
Uh-huh.
Right? Okay, and then Kelly and Alexandra, you still need to take the test. Okay, so I'm going to send this to you all. Here's your homework. In the personality section of the model, write down the aspects about your personality, so hare, owl, squirrel, and I'll send you this as soon as I can today so that Angie and Alexandra and Kelly, for you guys, you'll know what your personality type and what it is and what it means, okay? So in the personality section of your model, write down the aspects of your personality that are really important for you to consider in terms of your ideal career. And think about it in terms of the types of tasks you need to have and the culture and environment. And you'll notice on the model, culture and environment is one of the separate, is one of the other portions of the model, so you can start to fill that in as well. The second thing for homework is to review your careers to consider based on your personality type and see if anything needs to change or be adjusted. All right, any questions? Biggest thing you guys are taking away from today, let's just go around the room real quick. Kelly, how about you?
Well, I just did my personality test and I'm a hare, so that tells me a lot about what I need to change.
That somebody's kind of breathing heavy or something on their phone. Kelly, say it again for me.
No problem. I just took my personality test really quickly and I'm a hare, so I think... that tells me some things that I need to change about what I'm doing.
Ah, okay, cool. Perfect. Thanks. All right, Angie, how about you?
I need to look at the gaps now that I'm kind of reconsidering the careers to consider.
Okay, good. Perfect. Michael?
I need to figure out to overcome the gaps and the experience part, and also I need to figure out how to get the owl and the hare to play nicely in my head.
Good. I love it. Stacy, how about you?
I think I want to look at the gaps as well, like really maybe print out, you know, some of these job descriptions and highlight things that I'm missing. And also I do need to do more and more of these informational interviews and put more time into it to talk to these people to find out what really are the biggest things that they're looking for and directions I need to go in.
Okay, perfect. And Alexandra?
Prioritizing gaps, I think, is my next move.
Okay, cool. And taking a shower.
Right. Maybe that'll come first.
Okay, good. All right, guys, thank you for being here today. Contact me in between if you have any questions. That's why I'm here, okay?
All right.
I'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye.